The Time Traveling Robots in Space is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
The Time Traveling Robots in Space podcast starts now.
It's Thursday, November 29th, 2012, and welcome to another Galactic Netcast. This is The Time Traveling Robots in Space, number 51. From Waterloo, Iowa, I'm Dave Nelson. Joining me, as always, is Glendale, California's very own Paul Swickard. How are you, Paul?
I feel like there needs to be an audience there. I know. There should have been like an audience in the background.
Okay. An idea for next time. An idea for next time. Sound effects. Applause.
I've always wanted my own personal like score. Mostly like the Darth Vader theme.
Okay. That brings up a great question.
As you walk in the Imperial March.
Okay, this is a question I throw out to people on a somewhat regular basis. Would you rather have a laugh track or a soundtrack?
Soundtrack.
I gotta go with soundtrack as well.
Yeah, I think soundtrack. I'm with you. I think I'm with you as well.
People laugh at my jokes anyway, sir. I can get that on my own.
I don't need a soundtrack. I don't need a laugh track. I'm funny enough. So, what's been happening in Glendale lately, Mr. Pitt Swickard?
It's raining. So, people are more indoorsy than usual.
Yeah.
California is funny. I don't know if you all know this, but like once water starts falling from the sky, people tend to freak the hell out, like as though this were some sort of apocalyptic sign. And, you know, the weather report reflects that, too. They'll go like, hey, and here's Chip with the weather. How's it going out there, Chip? And it's like, it's raining. Be careful. Oh, all right. Back to you. That kind of crap.
Are the Southern California meteorologists like the Weather Channel when it comes to hurricanes?
And Dave's
he's frozen.
To laugh he's at my vanished. Joke.
Aww.
Am I back? Am I back yet? Am
We're
I here?
Live to the rest of the world, just not to the pods.
Oh, there he is. He's back.
It's so frustrating because to me, I'm not frozen, and you guys are saying I'm frozen. I'm not frozen. I'm moving around.
You vanished. You straight up like gray-boxed.
Wow.
A little wheel. So
yikes. So my question, Paul, was when I was frozen. So the meteorologists on the TV stations in California. Are they like the Weather Channel when it comes to hurricanes? Do they go on location and here comes the rain, yes. Fred, or whatever the yes. anchor is?
It's raining buckets, and there's like a light drizzle outside.
That's awesome. All right, let's move
I
from...
I saw...
Okay, like, go ahead.
Okay. I have a quick story.
All right, cool.
Not specific to Glendale, but I saw this weather report on Hurricane Sandy, and I hope we're at a point where we can laugh at this. So, many Transformers blew on the East Coast, right? Like a fairly regular occurrence. And there were many weather reports around, you know, across all kinds of stations deciding, you know, that we should cover this. Fine. So, one fellow was out in the storm, and he's like, oh, things are quite dangerous out here, Bob. We got the Transformer, and it's really close, and the water's rising, and they're saying that if we get just a little bit closer, we have the chance of getting, and then the whole feed cut.
Oh.
So.
Whoa. What happened?
I am told that nothing. I think it was just poor timing. But no, like literally the feed cut, and everyone in the studio is just like, well, I guess the show must go on. I don't know.
We'll find out what happened to them in a few minutes or not. I don't know. That's funny.
Ah.
So, yep. Okay. Anessa, Denton, Texas is where you are coming from. How are things there?
Yep. The weather has been very pretty. It's been sunny most days and in the 60s, 70s, occasionally 80s. And it's frustrating. I want it to be fall and wear a jacket.
Yep. It's pretty much warm all over. Like, it's going to be in the 60s here next week. In December. 60s.
In December.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just crazy. I kind of wish Old Man Winter would at least pop in for a few days here.
Old Man Winter, grab your cane and get your ass out of the house. Go.
He's slacking this year.
Yeah.
It's like, fall and summer can take care of it. It's okay.
I'm picturing this scenario in my head. It's like a wacky sitcom from the 1970s. It's all the seasons.
Yeah, and it's funny because some of the leaves have turned and have already like fallen, but some of them have not. And before any of them really started turning, it would just start to fall. And I think it was just at the point where they just felt like they were obligated to do something. And they're like, well, it's the beginning of November. We should have like fallen already. So, you know, let's drop a few leaves. And so it's kind of annoying because there's like fall on a daily basis and you have to clean them off of your car. And just wish they would make up their mind, fall, you're done.
Is that a thing?
So.
What, Paul?
Is that a thing?
Is what a thing? Is what a thing?
Leaves?
What about leaves?
They fall in the fall.
Yeah, they fall.
What?
They fall
I'm
off the tree.
Something.
You know what?
They fall exactly? in the fall okay. here in Texas. Well, it depends on the tree, though, too. Because, like, mesquite trees, nothing really.
So,
a whole lot with them, I guess.
Maybe I don't have. You know what? I know the problem. We don't have enough trees.
Like, this is a total
no
foreign
really
concept. This is a foreign concept to Paul. He has no idea. The leaves actually fall off the trees. Whoa!
It makes me feel a little better that at least, like, I have fall, Texas, in theory.
All right, guys, let's actually talk about the subjects that we're supposed to talk about here on the podcast,
right.
Which is time travel, robots in space, in science, and science fiction.
Indeed.
How we do it is we run down a story from each topic. We discuss our related entertainment picks and ask and answer the question of the week. For our audio subscribers, if you'd like to see us in action, record the show live, you know, actually see us, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+. And we will tell you when and where we're going to be. So let's get the show on the road and start the show now.
Sector 1, time travel.
Paul, and you've got the time travel story.
I do, because I gave it to myself, because I love time travel. That's how I roll. Continuum. You've heard of this show.
Yes.
It is. Now, see, and stay with me here. Continuum is a Canadian time travel drama. Continuum. Canadian time travel drama. I know it's hard to believe that any quality television is coming out of Canada, but...
Oh, no.
It is going to find its way because Continuum is coming to Sci-Fi in January. January 14th, to be exact. And just FYI, Continuum is the highest rated scripted basic television series. It's, and I have not seen it. Either of you?
I have seen the whole thing. I was gifted the episodes from Canada. I was given the episodes through channels, which I'm not going to explain. So I've seen
Friends.
The show.
Ah.
Yeah.
Friends have given Dave the episode.
Friends.
Gifts.
Yeah. It's a good show. It's interesting. It brings up a lot of interesting things about, you know, paradoxes and things like that. And it's a cop drama. And they show really cool future tech because the show starts way, way
cool.
in the future. So, yeah, I recommend it when it comes on Sci-Fi Watch.
Yeah, 2077.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this basically the story revolves around, centers on terrorists who are going to be executed, but end up traveling back in time from 2077 to present day, yeah?
Yes.
And they accidentally take one of the law enforcement agents with them.
Yep. She's very attractive,
too. Yeah, apparently it's a good show. is her? It's her. The character's name is Keira Cameron. What is the actress's name?
I have no idea.
I knew this.
I've never going into it. I've never seen her before in anything else. But the one I think the thing I will say is, if you watch Continuum,
Rachel Nichols.
Okay, if you watch Continuum, you will recognize a lot of Canadian actors, like people that you've seen on other shows that were based that were filmed in Canada. Like there's a lot of like Stargate people on the show, you know. There's always like those one Canadian actors that are always in the same, always in shows. So look for them.
Yeah, very cool. Apparently, Sci-Fi has acquired the rights to both the initial run of episodes and the subsequent second season. So, yeah, I mean, if it's worth checking out, I will definitely set my DVR. And yeah, again, January 14th, Sci-Fi.
I won't have to get the second season through other means. I can actually do it, you know. I can feel better.
Through your friends.
I can feel better about
DNS.
It.
DNS.
What? No.
Funny. Dave used to be really hesitant about friends giving him TV shows.
Hey, you know what? If they want to give them to me, that's fine. But I'm not going to go out of my way to actually get them. I'm not going to do the dirty work. I'll let my friends be the ones that get caught, you know?
Yeah. Exactly right. Exactly. So, indeed. Yeah. So, yeah. I hope that Continuum is a good show. And if it's not, I will blame David, and you all can too. That email, once again, galacticnetcast@gmail.com.
Yes. They breach a lot of very interesting, like, paradoxical questions in this. Like, there's a kid who is very key to a lot of things that they have in the future on the show. It's really interesting. So I really like how they approach the whole time travel thing in this show. They do it pretty well. For time travel, for actually dealing with the concept of time travel, they do a pretty good job. All righty.
Very cool.
Yeah. We would like to know what you think of the stories that we're covering tonight. Have you seen Continuum? What do you think of it? Are you excited to watch it on Sci-Fi? Let us know. Go to contact.galacticnetcasts.com. You can email us, like Paul mentioned already. The email address is galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. Or you can call our voicemail number. Always lovely to hear from you. The number is 805-328-3966. 805-328-3966. All right, let's move on.
These sultry sounds of your voice are always helpful to us.
Oh, thank you. Here we go.
Sector 2. Robots.
All right, Anessa, as always, coming in with the robot stories. What do you got this week?
Woo, robots. Robot chef trains out 400 burgers an hour and won't join a union.
Whoa.
Woohoo.
If you're already worried about robots taking the place of human workers, you're not going to like this. One company hopes to revolutionize the fast food industry with its robotic burger maker that can churn out a gut-busting 400 gourmet burgers an hour. However, the efficiency isn't the key to changing the already rosy fortunes of the burger business. Instead, it's the machine's ability to replace a highly costly, think $9 billion, costly human workforce. That's right. This machine setting its sights on making human burger flippers obsolete, making a not-so-happy meal for some. San Francisco's based startup Momentum Machines claims that its RoboChef can handle all of the production line, be it chopping fresh vegetables, grilling the patty, or automatically wrapping complete burgers that are ready for waiting customers. If being able to take on the entire production line wasn't enough, the Alpha machine also saves precious space, taking up just 24 square feet.
Whoa. So, are you guys starting to worry about... I know you weren't done yet, Anessa, I apologize. But I wanted to throw this in here real quick. Are you guys starting to worry about our future when it comes to robots taking all of our jobs?
Yeah. So-ish, I guess, in a way. I can see the concern with the robots taking over the jobs, but at the same time, somebody needs to take care of the robot. That's just going to create a new market for people. Like, people will need to learn new skill sets.
What if they create robots to take care of the robots?
Isn't that, like, against the rules or something? Can't have a robot work on a robot.
That's one of, what's-his-face's rules of robotics.
Is it
Asimov?
Yeah, Asimov. What, Paul?
So, if we go by that rule, then you have to have a human work on the robot.
What were you going to say, Paul?
I was just going to say, I was going to postulate something for everybody. Maybe these things are taking the mundane tasks so we can focus on more creative things. This is the optimistic side of me, because it would be much more difficult, I would think, to create a robot that is capable of creative talents or, you know, entertainment value,
yeah,
rather than, you know, something that can churn out burgers.
So what I'm thinking is we need to start thinking about the jobs that robots are not going to take and get those jobs. You know what I mean?
Totally. Like, the job I have now, like my day job, absolutely could be replaced by a robot if it were advanced enough. No problem.
Yeah.
So, hence why I'm doing this with you guys.
Yeah.
Like, it would be a lot harder for a robot to do this.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Okay. Do you guys want to act out what it would be like with three robots doing the time traveling robots in space? What?
You know what's kind of sad?
What do you think of the story,
initially?
Paul? Do you think robots should repair other robots, Paul?
The sad part is, if you knew, like, if you could prove that there were three robots running the show, do you know how many freaking downloads we would get? We'd be the number one
show. A lot. And you know, like, talking about that,
it'd be ridiculous.
My pick is something similar to that, except it's not a podcast.
Really?
It involves a robot.
Hmm.
But it doesn't sound like it.
I'm intrigued. You've got me.
My pick.
You have got me intrigued, Inessa.
So
you want to continue? There was more to the story. Do you want to continue?
Yes. So Momentum Machines expects that its automat will allow fast food restaurants to free up more space for customers to eat and, in turn, bring in higher revenues. And its small size could let it work in food trucks and convenience stores, and it could even work as a vending machine. According to its creator, the burger-making appliance will pay for itself in 1 year, and it probably won't go and join a union. One thing's for sure, you probably won't want to stand at the end of this machine with your mouth hanging open.
Why not?
If it churns, like, what is it, 400 hamburgers an hour?
Okay,
like...
I get it.
That's a lot of hamburgers.
It just sounds
I love a good hamburger, man.
Like, I don't think you can keep up with 400 hamburgers an hour.
So, Lucy...
Unless you're, like, Homer Simpson.
Yeah.
Unless you're Homer or... like some other random cartoon character that like
Blimpy?
Eats stacks of food.
Blimpy likes Blimpy likes the hamburgers, right?
Oh yeah, he'll gladly pay you for a hamburger Tuesday, or pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Yes. So he would love that. Put his mouth in front of this, he'd be in heaven.
Yep, he definitely would, and I don't think he'd ever pay, but. Die a happy man.
Just gorge on hamburgers.
I wonder if you... Oh, dude. You could totally sue this guy. You better have, like, a disclaimer. Do not stand at the end of the conveyor belt consuming hamburgers. The rate this thing can churn them out.
I know. Yeah, that's...
Lawsuit right there.
Pretty much.
Does it have a speed?
I mean, you'd have to have a lot of people.
Do you have a, yeah.
Well, if...
Is it adjustable?
I would hope that you can adjust the speed, because you're not going to have 400 people in an hour at all times a day.
That's the busiest McDonald's ever.
Like, maybe between, you know, like, 12 in one, like typical lunchtime.
Yeah.
But you go at 11 or 2 or something when it's not so busy, you're not going to have four. You're going to have stacks of hamburgers. Just
it's just on. It's like, hamburgers! It'd be really great if we could turn this thing down a little bit. But we just made all our hamburgers that we're selling today, so...
They're just going down the street and chunking hamburgers at people because they don't know what else to film.
I just had a thought about...
Oh, like those old Atari games. Yes, we've made too many and people don't want them anymore.
It's like, okay. Here, take them all.
Okay, check this out. What are they going to do with the people that whose jobs they're going to lose on this? They're going to take them and grind them up, and the hamburgers are going to be the people that used to work at the restaurant.
That's pretty dark even for you, dude.
Soylent Green as people. Hamburgers as people.
Soylent Green hamburgers as people.
All right.
I love, like, if you... I guess we can have this in the show notes somewhere, but like there's a picture of this thing. And just some of the instructions are kind of funny. Like, for example, the slicer. The machine slices fresh ingredients only after, this is in bold, you place your order, creating the freshest burger possible. Good job. Alrighty. Thank you. I totally think, you know, if it works, fantastic. And another thing they tried to highlight here was the fact that they're gourmet, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's gourmet. Yeah,
forget about the griddle. Our oven will be capable of gourmet cooking methods never before used in a fast food restaurant. Never.
Well, so, I'm just kind of like, this doesn't, one, it doesn't sound very gourmet.
No.
Like, it sounds like, I mean, McDonald's, you know, any fast food burger joint would probably want this, but I can already see, one, the already brought up argument of, they took our jobs! And the other thing is, too, like, if McDonald's picked this up, I could totally see something like a Jack in the Box commercial and say, we have people making our burgers.
Yeah, I mean, because they had, back in the day, the Jack in the Box commercials for, like, say no to fake shakes. And then they're talking about, like, using non-frozen meat, I guess, or Angus, I think, is their big thing. And then the next thing would be, like, made by real people. But apparently, there's some Jack in the Boxes that are getting kiosks where you can order your food. Like Idiocy coming.
Weird.
Coming in real life. I heard there's one down in Dallas, and I need to go down and see it for myself. They could use it as a vending machine, then you don't even need people. Just push in your order.
I suppose the same, you know, if you go to Jack in the Box or whatever, but I don't like that idea. I don't like them just being this thing, a vending machine, burgers.
I don't. And then what if your burger gets stuck and then it backs up and then it's like trying to shake the machine? And
there's all kinds of problems. Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it.
It's like a bad idea.
Yeah. All right, let's move on.
They'll do it in Japan.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Inessa.
We have all sorts of weird vending machines over there.
Yeah, no, they have stuff that we haven't even thought of yet. So Japan is way beyond us. Way, way beyond us.
Undies and vending machines.
Yeah, yeah. They've invented fetishes that we don't even know about yet. All right, let's continue before we go down another rabbit hole.
Like what, Dave?
Who is what's this about Audible?
Okay, the Time Traveling Robots in Space, thank you, is brought to you by Audible.com. For you, the Galactic Netcast listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. And our recommendation this week, relating to one of the topics, is The Truth About the Philadelphia Experiment, Invisibility, Time Travel, and Mind Control. And this is our first quote-unquote nonfiction book that we've recommended, because I don't know how true this is, but it's claiming to be a real book about real things. I'm doing air quotes for the audio.
Yeah.
Listen. Okay. So here's the synopsis. You guys know about the Philadelphia experiment. A U.S. Navy ship vanishes during a secret World War II experiment gone awry. When it reappears, observers are horrified to see crew members embedded in the deck steel of the ship. During a sea trial, the ship vanishes and travels through time, setting off a number of events that continue today. So they may have started a paradox back in 1942 or 43, whenever this happened. It's not science fiction. It's science fact. You will meet three survivors of U.S. government experiments involving invisibility, time travel, mind control, psychic warfare, and remote viewing. You will hear these amazing projects or about these amazing projects firsthand. You'll experience dramatic recreations and learn about related incidents on this in this audiobook. Again, it's called The Truth About the Philadelphia Experiment, Invisibility, Time Travel, and Mind Control. And you can check it out for free on Audible by going to audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. And we thank Audible for their support of the time traveling robots in space. And speaking of space,
apparently we have a time traveler here.
What, we have a time traveler?
In the chat room. Ronin SD came here from 1943.
Whoa! Congratulations!
Oh, welcome.
Yeah.
he missed the mark, though. He was aiming for 2015.
I hate when that happens. It really pisses you off, doesn't it? Well, welcome to our new millennium. And you'll be amazed by our next story. So stick around.
Sector 3. Space.
And welcome to Sector 3. And the subject is space. And I am so excited. Thank you very much, Paul, for putting the story in for me. Just for me. I'm so happy about this.
I thought of you. I really did.
All right. So the Star Trek synopsis has arrived. The synopsis for the new Star Trek movie coming out in 2013 is here. All right. Minor spoilers. You guys fine with that?
No. Not really. Come on. Anessa, you got it. I guess in the sense that there are spoilers in a trailer.
Yeah. It's not.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's not spoilery
if it's
at all.
A trailer, it's really. But yeah. I usually try to shy away from a lot of trailers for movies.
It's the basic story structure. It's nothing specific, so don't worry about it. All right, so the 2013 Star Trek Into Darkness movie took another step forward. Paramount Pictures issued the official approved synopsis for the film, which reveals some details about the plot, and this is it right here. So get ready. Star Trek in the summer. Okay. Hang on. When the crew of the Enterprise is called back home, they find an unstoppable force of terror from within their own organization has detonated the fleet and everything it stands for, leaving our world in a state of crisis. With a personal score to settle, Captain Kirk leads a manhunt to a war zone world to capture a one-man weapon of mass destruction. As our heroes are propelled into an epic chess game of life and death, love will be challenged, friendships will be torn apart, and sacrifices must be made for the only family Kirk has left, his crew. So there you go. That's the official synopsis of Star Trek Into Darkness. What do you guys think?
I wonder, we could break this up bit by bit. Crew is called back home. Okay. They find an unstoppable force of terror within their own organization. Okay. So does that mean, I'm wondering if they're speaking literally here. Like if they're really going to go with, a corrupt force within the Federation. And this, what I'm most curious about is the, has detonated the fleet and everything it stands for.
Yeah, what is that? Is it literally detonated? Actually blew up every ship in the fleet?
I don't know. That is a darn good question. I tend to doubt it, but I suppose it's possible, knowing Mr. Abrams and his love of lens flares.
Now, we have mentioned on the show previously that there was a rumor going around that the Benedict Cumberbatch character is actually Gary Mitchell, mm-hmm. who was in Where No Man Has Gone Before.
Was that never confirmed?
I don't know.
I mean, I know that Cumberbatch was, obviously he's the main bad guy.
Yeah.
Fleet.
And in love the chat room. In the original where No Man Has Gone Before, Gary Mitchell gets powers, and that could lead into the whole one man weapon of mass destruction thing, because if you have powers,
sure, we have a theme planet.
Yeah, I love the theme planets. Star Trek is known. They're famous for their theme planets. I wish they would go to a pleasure planet, though. I don't know about a war zone planet. Doesn't sound as much fun.
I guess it depends on the person.
Yeah, I guess that's exactly right. Who is
some
the,
people you know, are into
some people like the war.
War, I guess.
Yeah. So okay, let me ask you guys this question. Since we're on the subject of theme planets, what theme planet would you like to go? You guys like to go to?
Well, Dave already made his vote. He wants Pleasure Planet. You heard it here first.
Pleasure Planet. I don't know. Like a mattress planet.
I want a role playing planet.
a mattress planet. Yes. They have the best mattresses in the galaxy. On the mattress planet.
Exactly. And it's like you get a good night's sleep.
have you all seen Invader Zim?
No.
I have not.
What is it?
I need to, though.
Oh, man. That is too funny. I'll recommend it, and I'll give you guys like a clip or something. But yeah, they have stuff like it's an old television show from Nickelodeon.
Mm-hmm.
It was for kids, but not really for kids. Like it's kind of gross. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Ren and Stimpy in that sense.
Okay.
But no, you know, do you even know the premise? These aliens all get together, and they're all sent to various planets, and Invader Zim. He really wants to be an invader, but he sucks at it and he's kind of evil, so they just kind of send him off to wherever, and that planet happens to be Earth. And they like the way they picked invaders to go to planets, he's like, you will be sent to Zlorch, home of the slaughtering rat people, and then they have this picture of the invader being devoured by slaughtering rat people.
Oh, man.
But one of my favorites was, you'll be sent to this planet, home of the universe's most comfortable couch. And it's just him just chilling on the couch.
That's awesome. That sounds like what Futurama would do, you know? I'm sure that they've gone to a few theme planets on Futurama, haven't they?
Yeah, they had like the Amazon.
I'm sure they have.
And
yes, yeah, that's a good example.
Wasn't there another place where like they just made Slurm maybe? And then there's a planet with robots that were trying to like overthrow the Slurm.
Oh,
the beverage. Like they, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if this is the same one.
I do recall
an industrialized planet
episode.
Where people were.
Yeah, and then there was the robot planet where they were. Like, kill all humans.
Yes, that's true. I remember that.
That's awesome. So, Star Trek comes out this spring, but they're going to show, I think, 9 or 15 minutes of it at IMAX theaters that are showing The Hobbit. So, if you want to know more about it, then find where they're showing The Hobbit on IMAX and go see it soon. Do you think they're going to release a trailer shortly after that, you guys?
Yes.
Oh, you'd think they'd have to, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
If they don't, somebody else will.
Yeah. Somebody with a camera with them in the theater. All right. I'm super excited. Super stoked for Star Trek. Paul?
No, it's fine.
Go ahead.
No, it's, don't worry.
Has anybody ever... Okay.
Anybody ever have a cheese sandwich that wasn't good? The answer would be no.
Cheese is awesome.
No, my thought was that I don't personally. I've tried to see those movies that they try to take with those stupid little camcorders.
Oh yeah.
I never got anything out of it.
No,
like it just doesn't jive with me.
Yeah, I don't see how people can watch those.
Me neither.
All right, let's move on here. Did you know that you can listen to the Time Traveling Robots in Space on Stitcher Smart Radio? Question mark. Well, yes, you can, Dave. I'm asking and answering my own questions. That's weird. You can get Stitcher on iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, Android, the Nook, and the list goes on and on. Basically, any device that you can put an app on, you can put Stitcher on that sucker. Go to Stitcher.com/GalacticNetcasts and enter the promo code GalacticNetcasts. Again, Stitcher.com/GalacticNetcasts and enter the promo code GalacticNetcasts. And we thank Stitcher for their support of the Time Traveling Robots in Space. You guys ready for picks?
Ready for picks.
All right. Mine is craptacular, I have to say.
Woo!
It's a movie called Beyond the Time Barrier. Remember last week or last time we were talking about the Twilight Zone movie, about the plot of the Twilight Zone movie? You guys remember that?
Yes.
Okay. This movie, very similar to that. It was released in 1960. It is a Cold War era film, black and white, filmed in 10 days in Texas, Anessa, in your home state.
Yay!
And here's
the... Did it say where in Texas?
But no, maybe it does in the Wikipedia article. I didn't read that far into it. So here's the synopsis of it. U.S. Air Force test pilot Major Bill Allison, played by Robert Clark, flies an experimental aircraft to suborbital spaceflight successfully, but loses radio contact. He lands at his Air Force base, at his air base that is now abandoned and seems old and unused. Mystified by his surroundings, he sees a futuristic city on the horizon. A really, really bad matte painting, by the way. They didn't even try. It didn't look real at all. I'm sorry. Okay, he sees this futuristic city on the horizon where he is rendered unconscious and captured by the inhabitants. Allison discovers that he has entered a wormhole through time and has landed in the year 2024 that contains survivors from a cosmic plague that hit Earth starting in 1971. The inhabitants of this dystopia, who are dying, or they're dying out, live in an underground city called the Citadel. They are led by the Supreme and his mute and telepathic granddaughter. See, it's really, really... stupid plot. I mean, it's dumb. It reminds me a lot of Plan 9 from Outer Space with a little bit better budget, a little bit more money, just a tad.
Just a tiny bit.
Yeah. They used a lot of stock footage, it looked like. Like the plane that they showed going into suborbital looked like a stock footage F whatever Air Force plane it was. And then they show the normal plane up to a certain point, and then it switches to a model, and you can totally tell it's a model after a certain point, and then it comes back down again.
Yes.
And when it's in space, it makes noise, like it, you know, how things don't really make noise in space. Well, in this movie, they did.
Did they know that then?
Well, maybe not. It was 1960.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
but.
So, anyways, that's my pick. It's called Beyond the Time Barrier. If you want to see a really, really bad 1960s movie about time travel, this is it. All right, let's move on to Anessa.
All right. My pick is a little video short called Gumdrop. And it is directed by Carrie Conran, who wrote and directed Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow. Basically, this little short is about a young actress who's get big in Hollywood, and so she's going to a casting call. So she's auditioning for a part. And during this casting call, she, you know, they ask her questions, like interview and whatnot. They talk about her past, and then she reads the script, and then she moves on. But the thing is she's a robot. She doesn't sound like a robot. She doesn't mechanical. But she's a robot. And as she's leaving the casting call, you see everyone outside waiting. And it's a mixture of robots and humans. So it was actually kind of entertaining. She talked about she liked dancing. And one of the funny parts was they would kind of edit her into video clips with, say, Fred Astaire. They were dancing.
Yeah,
she
has
wheels, so it's not really dancing, but she's like rolling around and
yeah,
in her acting. And I liked it. And I guess you kind of forget that it's a robot that's talking because it doesn't sound like a robot, and it has emotions. And yeah, it's not very robotic, I guess.
So let me get this straight. This was like a reality, like a documentary, or was this a fiction film?
It's a fiction.
Oh, okay.
But it's a fiction film, as if, I guess it's a fiction film.
Is it a mockumentary?
It's not really a documentary. It's not like a documentary. They're documenting the audition.
Okay.
They're not like, oh, and this person's auditioning for blah, blah, blah. They have like a little cue thing saying, this person's auditioning for this, you know, and then they're interviewing this person and they're going, you know, on and on. And then they hand her the script and she reads it. And, oh man, that was awesome. Thanks. She's done and she leaves and they go on to the next person.
Could you tell?
But it's not like.
Could you tell that she was a robot?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Very clearly, you could tell that she's a robot. She has like this white head and she's got like these, I don't know, they look kind of like feathers. And they move as she talked, and, you know, she'd close her eyes. And one little bit that made me laugh was, they're like, do you have any special talents or abilities? And, like, all of a sudden, like, the vacuum cleaner kicks on, and she, like, rolls her around the office for, like, all of 3 seconds. And then she stops, and she's, ta-da!
That's funny. That's a super special skill right there.
It was entertaining because she didn't have legs. She had like wheels.
Okay.
But like she had arms and they flowed pretty freely, like arms and stuff. But I say take the 6 minutes out of your day and go to watch this.
Okay. And as always, we'll put the links to everything that we talked about in the show notes of the podcast, including our picks. Anything more to add, Anessa, before we move on to Paul?
Nope.
All right.
Oh, Gumdrop is the name of the robot.
Gumdrop. That's cute.
In case you were wondering what Gumdrop had to do with anything, that was the name of the robot.
Okay. So it looks like both of you guys went to the YouTube lake this week to get your picks. Because, Paul, yours is also a YouTube link.
Yeah, Veronica Belmont, she's popular among the interwebs, the interwebby type folks. She does this thing where she'll interview people about various, I don't know that you call it tropes, but stuff, scientific stuff you see on movies and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she interviewed a fellow by the name of Dr. Ronald Mallet, and he essentially is an expert on black holes and time travel. So essentially asked him if the logical stuff in Looper, like if that kind of world would make sense in the future, you know, if that kind of time travel could exist ever potentially.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting. I mean, it's not too long. It's like 8 minutes. And it's cool to hear some of the little scientific insights that he has into, like, just all the kind of crazy stuff. And spoiler alert, some of the stuff is accurate.
Wait a second. Weird. You were breaking up. Not accurate, you said?
Not accurate.
Say it ain't so.
One of the things I guess what I took away from it was it's actually a little bit more plausible than I originally had thought. That is to say that it is slightly not impossible.
Well, the thing is, they're all theories now. There's no way to prove it. I mean, there's plenty of scientific theories about if time travel is possible, and I'm sure that's what he went into, right?
Yeah. Yeah, essentially. I mean, you go back to the stuff of, you know, Einstein's theory of relativity and, you know, what the function of black holes are and things like that. One interesting thing that I had thought about, or rather that was brought up in the show and now I've been thinking about it, is that, and I hadn't thought of this, and no movie has ever done this. Every single time that you have a time travel thing, you are in this machine and then you are transported back in time somewhere at some point in time, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is more plausible scientifically is if you were trying to make a time travel machine and you just turn it on, every moment from the time you turn a time travel machine on, think about it as a portal. So you could have people from the future going back in time up until the point the original time travel machine was turned on. You know what I mean? Like, it's a common question among time travel, like, today. Like, if time travel was possible, why don't we see time travelers?
Mm-hmm.
One thought is that you could potentially have some kind of machine that once turned on, you could travel back in time up until the point that it was turned on.
Okay. Kind of like Sam Beckett on Sliders, he travels through time in his own lifetime, kind of. Sort of.
I believe you mean Quantum Leap.
Or, yeah, Sliders. Quantum Leap, you're right. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah, essentially. It was just an interesting thought. I'm like, mm-hmm. I guess that kind of makes sense. And, of course, he also brought up the, you know, just to put another wrinkle to the matter, he also mentioned that even if that kind of thing could work, it doesn't exclude the possibility of you traveling in alternate dimensions.
Yeah, see, that's the most likely theory, at least to me, I think, is the whole whenever you time travel, you create a new reality. I mean, that's my theory, at least.
Logically, that would make sense.
Yeah. I don't believe in paradoxes, so I think...
Speaking of which, and not to take away from Miss Veronica Belmont, good job. You should all go watch that YouTube clip. But I'm about halfway through the second season of Fringe, speaking of alternate realities. Really good.
Yeah, I know.
I'm at a point now where, like, there's just been this great realization, and I'm just like, oh,
yeah,
dude, that totally makes sense.
Yep. Told you it was going to get good.
It's kind of crazy.
Told you.
I know. There's 5 seasons of this.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of second season, too.
Well,
middle of the second season, too. Middle of the second season.
Cool. All right. So 3 solid picks this week. Well, 2 solid picks. I don't know if mine's solid. It's okay. It's kind of crappy.
You know what? Why don't we classify picks as, hey, this is entertaining.
Okay.
Whether that be for the better or for ill.
Better or worse.
Yes.
So
I like it. All right, we got one more thing to do, and that is ask the question of the week. And since Paul prepped the show, you ask the question.
I will. The question is, which dystopian future would you prefer to live in? These are all fairly tropey. Which dystopian future? Again, which dystopian future? One, the robot revolution. Two, the Mad Max style. Three, the water world style, which is essentially Mad Max on water. Or four, the zombie apocalypse.
Oh, man, these all suck. There's no... the chances of dying in all of these are pretty much the same.
Well, not it,
more or less, yes.
I mean, I think you'd have a better chance of living it in a Mad Max style or Waterworld style. Well, more so Mad Max than some of the others. I mean, especially zombie apocalypse, if they're fast zombies, then everybody's pretty much screwed.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you're right. So, Paul, what was...
Even though you succeed at rule number one cardio, you're going to get tired. Zombies not.
Yes, very good point. Very good point. All right, so...
I don't know. I'm going for Mad Max.
Okay.
Sorry. Like, okay. I went ahead and answered.
Okay, it. Dave?
Well, you know, I'm torn because I love robots so much, but I don't want them to kill me.
Okay, so you want to... You want to, when they do take over, you want to welcome your robot overlords.
Yeah. But you know what? They wouldn't be, you know, they wouldn't. No, I'm not going to say robot revolution because I'm going to die if that's the case. I'm going to say water world style just because I could make a boat. I'm not a very good swimmer, but maybe if I live long enough, I'll sprout gills like
Kevin Costner.
Like Kevin Costner, yeah.
Going on.
But I don't.
I never actually saw Waterworld.
That's totally how that works. Oh, really?
I haven't seen Waterworld, but we played the music.
That's total spoiler.
It's a halftime show.
Sorry.
Well, I've seen chunks enough to know that he has gills.
And he drinks his own pee.
He's on a boat.
Okay.
And he's, and like, jumping into the
guess
ocean.
Guess what? They eventually find land at the end of the movie.
So, like, I know gist of what goes on, but, yeah, we had to play the music in high school for marching band.
It's so random.
Anyway.
All right, Paul, what are you picking,
anyway.
Paul?
I know it's totally overdone right now, but I like the zombie apocalypse.
Really?
Just because, like, I dig violence in pretty much all of its forms, but for whatever reason, the zombie apocalypse, you're kind of given a blank slate to kill everybody, and there's no real moral component to it.
You know?
If that makes sense.
No, like, no, that totally...
Because you're essentially killing, you're de-animating...
No, that makes total sense because I was watching The Walking Dead this week and they showed a scene where humans were being mean to humans and that bothered me a lot. But
right.
If when they kill like just
right.
a horde of zombies, it's not that big of a deal, really.
But, eh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. Totally. But, you know, it's just like, you know, it's... Like, you bring up The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead is not about the zombies. It's about what people do to each other when essentially shit goes crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's that's really what it's about. So the zombies aren't the scariest part. It's what the other people do to each other that's the scariest part.
Yeah, yeah. So do you think you've watched enough zombie movies to be able to kill a zombie fairly easy, Paul?
Don't say the Z word, first of all. You can't say zombie in a zombie movie. They're not called zombies.
Oh.
Unless you're talking about Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Apparently Warm Bodies. Have you guys seen the trailer for that?
No, uh-uh.
What?
There's a movie coming out in, I think, early next year called Warm Bodies. And it's like this romantic comedy with zombies,
oh,
I guess.
Weird.
Nice.
And in the trailer, you guys should check out the trailer, but in the trailer, at one point, the the girl, the living person, is holding up like this book cover DVD or something that says zombie on it. She's like comparing it to like this person because she's trying to figure out what they are, I guess.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. Seems like it would be
interesting. I saw the trailer for World War Z.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. I have to just disconnect the fact that it's not like the book.
Yeah, okay.
At all.
Okay, I have an issue. I have an issue. I have a problem with people continuing to compare The Walking Dead, the TV show, to the comic book, and how the people who have been reading the comic book for years, graphic novel, are pissed off whenever it doesn't real. They don't. I guess they have the story in their head, and they know how the story goes. And when it doesn't match, when the TV show doesn't match up to it, then they're pissed off.
I don't see as much of that. Most of the people that I know of that are fans of the comic are pretty even keel about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I've read, well, so, I've read, like, the first 80 But after, I think, like, the first episode or two, I pretty much got the gist that it wasn't going to go like the comic, and I was able to separate the two.
Yeah.
And I'm not pissed. I mean, I really enjoy the show, and I really enjoy the comic, and I just treat them as separate things.
I hope people realize that with World War Z, it's not going to be like the book.
And so that's what I just need to do with World War Z, judging by the trailer.
Yeah,
like, it's going to be a zombie movie with the World War Z title.
Yeah, Paul, what did you have to say?
See, I see. I kind of view the. Well, I was just going to say that with Walking Dead, you have a lot of. You know, I've read a good chunk of the graphic novels, and, you know, I've seen up to the current on, as far as the show is concerned. And I feel like they have, they just have, it's not, obviously it's not identical. Everybody knows that, but it's just a lot of the same themes, like a lot of the same,
a lot of the same
horrible points. Situations, I guess. Right. Right. Like, there was one particular point in the end of season two where I just, like, they didn't do it exactly the way it was portrayed in the comic, but it was similar enough to where they got the point across. I guess it didn't really bother me. Like, they seem to be covering the bases, and they obviously have some of, like, Daryl is not even, spoiler, is not even of the comic, and he's one of my favorite characters on the show.
Oh, he,
so,
Daryl and Merle don't exist, and
right.
There's a bunch of characters that aren't even in the show that are in the comic. And
this current season of The Walking Dead has blown my mind. It's like this.
It's so good.
This latest episode was just mind blowing.
Dude, like, I'm not going to spoil anything. I promise, folks. Do not cross Glenn. When he is pushed to a corner, he will.
He is a badass.
Oh my
gosh.
That scene was just incredible.
It was tense, man. That was tense.
I was like,
I didn't expect that at all. I was just like, holy crap.
That was probably the best zombie fighting scene that I've ever seen, I think.
Yeah.
It was close.
Okay, let's stop talking about this.
Anyway.
So we don't spoil it for anybody.
Time traveling robots in space and these.
Yeah, we should put that in parentheses. All right, that's going to do it. That's it, folks. We value your feedback, so please leave it. The voicemail, again, is 805-328-3966. What we value even more is subscribers, so please go to subscribe.galacticnetcast.com. And we made this offer in the Alien Invasion earlier tonight when we recorded that. If you leave us a comment and a favorable review on iTunes, we will put your name in the title of the episode that we mention you in. We'll incorporate your name somehow into the title. So please leave us a comment and a favorable review on iTunes, and we'll do that for you. That's a guarantee from Galactic Netcasts. All right. You guys ready for final thoughts?
Absolutely.
No. You guys never are. Well, Paul's ready because he has the same answer every time. But Anessa.
He has the same answer. And I know it's coming, but I never prepare for a final thought. My final thought is you should always prepare for your final thought.
Okay. Hey, that works.
Nice.
Totally works.
Nice. Meta.
Yes. All right.
Do you want...
Okay,
Anessa, are you trying to tell me... Are you trying to tell me that I should not, like, have a different final thought? Because I tried that. Dave got mad at me, so...
I like your final thought, though.
I really do.
Okay.
Right. Get mad?
I would like for you to give your final thought.
All right.
Okay. All right. I like my final thought, too.
Okay, we'll say it, damn it.
All right. Be excellent to each other.
All right. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.